because there, I mean, there's a lot going on in the flavor of this. Yes, we've had this beer many times. I've enjoyed it and waxed poetic about it. But I think as it relates to the movie, I think that movie was a revelation to me. Not only in the sense that I was able to sit in a seat for 3.5 hours straight without
going to moving, the bathroom,
getting up, going to the bathroom or whatever, you know, but there were so many layers to Oppenheimer, you know, as a character, as a person, you know what I mean? And we saw so many like versions of him as he matured, that I thought like, this is a good interpretation of that.
Yeah. And I think that with Oppenheimer, there's this struggle to get beyond the science to, you know, what is the long-term legacy of what that team put together
and
whether that was worth doing. I think also, you know, science in general, but this in particular kind of raises the question that should be applied to most beers that are artfully done sometimes. And that is, just because it can be done, should it be done?
Yeah, right. No, it, no, no, you're absolutely right. Pastry stout, anyone? No, but it, yeah, that makes absolute sense. And that's a great like interpretation of the movie too, right? You know,
because they had it all on the theoretical level.
Sure.
But
sure,
it's like we want to concretize it, make it real. And do you always want to do that?
Yeah. And then if you put it out, where they, you know, you got to have ramifications of that, right? Okay, well, the Prairie Bomb from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, we are going to rate a resounding 5 for that.
Bravo.
Yeah. Yeah, I think two very excellent choices to represent the movie and the dichotomy between the two of them. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, stick around after the break. We'll actually get to talk about two other things. Are they on the opposite plane or are they on the same plane?
Are they a plane?
Are they on an airplane?
Yeah. Some
Wait,
plane.
There's an airplane involved? Yeah. Wait a second. I just thought there were dolls and bombs. All right. To be continued in just a minute.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover. Avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. This is a special episode. We're doing special things today for you, our listeners.
Dave, stop holding my hand. I know you're special.
Is that your hand?
Yeah. Oh. Oh, boy. We are special here. So today, we're taking beers that represent Barbie, the movie, and beers that represent Oppenheimer, the movie. And we're doing a nice little mashup, and we're talking about both. Good old boy Dave, you brought some beer. What would you like to talk about?
All right. So first, for Oppenheimer, sticking with Reverend Mark's bomb theme, because, you know.
Why not?
That's what the movie was about. I brought from Blackstone Brewing Company here in Nashville, Tennessee, Atom Bomb IPA. And Atom Bomb is a 7.2% IPA with Centennial, Cascade, Chinook, and Simcoe. So if you're going to make an IPA, this is the four hops you should probably work into your beer.
I've always liked Atom Bomb.
I do too.
How could you not, right?
Well, the thing I remember is, you know, when this first came out and, you know, the timing characteristic and kind of what was going on. I remember, you know, actually talking with Ken a bit, you know, about some of the choices they were kind of rolling through with this recipe. And a lot of it was actually, this was kind of in the middle of the hops race. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you have to think about, you know, I love the thematic, you know, hookup with, there's always, you know, a race to see who can do something, you know, both in the movie as well as, you know, what's going on here with creating a hop bomb. And the thing that I love about what Ken did is he actually chose not to create a hop bomb. He wanted to create a really good hop blend that was really bursting, you know, with a broad range of flavors about it. And they had just started distributing in local grocery stores, you mm-hmm. know, and this came out, and this was, I think, one of the very first releases that they had to
that you could get at the grocery store. Get
at the grocery stores, as opposed to just package stores. Yeah. And I remember just how well balanced I really thought everything was. It actually has, you know, some hops that I don't particularly care for, you know, in general.
Imagine that. There's some things Mike doesn't like.
It really works. And I'm always very impressed when people just create great beer. It's Chinook. No matter what it is.
You've always hated Chinook, haven't you?
That would be correct.
Yeah, see. Well, I like it, you know, related to Oppenheimer because, you know, IPA is a beer known for alpha acids, you know, and Oppenheimer was a beer about alpha males. Whether they were nerds who were alpha with their brain power or military guys who were alpha with their, you know, physical prowess and stuff. It felt like everything in this movie was a flex from one guy flexing on another. And so I think to me, this is really nice and well-balanced IPA, but I do think the style represents the mentality of a lot of the people in that movie.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. That's an intellectual stretch for you, Dave.
I actually got an intellectual strain.
Your brain. Is that what that was? Yeah. I heard a pop.
Yeah, yeah.
just breathe. Yeah. Relax.
Ah, I may need to be carted off the field. Oh, God. What'd you think, Juliana?
This is a classic. I mean, it's... Every so often, you know, we put it in our fridge. It doesn't last long. I'm happy to say that it's from our backyard.
Yeah.
You know, and it rivals a lot of the other greats, you know. And I like your interpretation of how it represents the movie, too. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, thank you.
I know. Oh. But it's a fan favorite for me.
Yeah, I think the other beer they released at this time was Picnic, I think, was they released that the
strawberry beer?
Yeah.
I do. I do like a strawberry Picnic. Hmm. Yeah. That's a good summertime beer.
Yeah.
That's like a guilty pleasure for me, along with the one from Jackalope.
Lovebird?
Yep, Lovebird. What?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, it's cool.
Tim, you know... Make a contribution to the world. Stop making that.
Yeah. Shut it down.
It's been a while since you've had this, Reverend Mark, I bet. Yeah,
it has. And it's fresh. It's enticing. I want to pick some up. And I actually, where I live now, I think they have it out there as well. So,
ooh, there you go. Cool.
Not right. That far in the sticks.
Wow.
I like that.
Oh, I think there's a rocking chair somewhere. Yeah.
Involved. All right, what do you guys want to rate this beer? Yeah.
Easily a 4.
All right. So for Barbie.
Thanks, I'll just keep the whole bottle.
Yeah, do it. So for Barbie, or what I am going to refer to as the Ken movie.
Oh, right? Boy.
Because I think the movie was really about marginalized males reclaiming their dominance, you know. Not really, but because I wouldn't know anything about that.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Wow.
No, that's him.
Dave, is group therapy on Tuesdays or Thursdays now?
Both days. I have to go twice a week my court order.
Yeah.
So I brought a Woodcut number 8 barley wine from Odell's Brewery. I pulled it out of our cellar. I think it's, is it from 2016 or
2014?
2014.
Wow. To be exact.
This is a 9-year-old barley wine that I wanted to share with you guys because I think, you know, just
so
like
I couldn't drive home.
Yes. Yes, Mike, we want to keep you here forever. Wow. Yeah, trust me. That was not the reason.
And actually, Reverend Martin, so this is when we all went to GABF together, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we went to Odell's.
Beer you dragged back. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh. This is one of the muled, and Reverend Mark gave this to us.
Oh, this wasn't even one of the ones we bought.
Well, he was there and he purchased it for us because he went with us.
Right. And I have the same bottle still at home.
Yeah. So there
or not
you go.
The same bottle, but you know.
No. I know. Right. The same bottle that we just.
So you still have yours?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So next year we could drink yours and it'll be.
And see 10 if it's, years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Because yeah. It'll be 10 years old.
But I thought, like, you know, with the Ken revolt and everything of masculinity coming out and, you know, and everything, I thought, well, this might be a cool beer to try and tie to the Barbie. Or as I say, Ken movie. So we'll see how smooth it is. 10.2%.
Yeah.
From Odell Brewing in Colorado.
Now, back in 2014, Reverend Mark said it was like a sticky, sweet caramel and coconut bread pudding with ample warmth.
Huh.
And you rated it a 4.
It is not sticky anymore.
No. And, you know, I would say that that's right on cue for a really good, you know, barley wine, you know, for those characteristics. I think the thing that struck out to me at first is fruit. I am really quite surprised how fruity this really is.
Is this slightly tart to you?
No, I don't think so.
Because I get a tartness to it.
I just get a woodiness.
And maybe it's the wood. You know, there's some sort of tannic or some kind of thing going on.
I get like oaky, you know, woodiness.
I'm getting like a sweet lemon, almost like a limoncello kind of overtone on this. Maybe tangelos that are also kind of sweet, you know, around it. Really very complex and amazing. I've actually been hitting my own cellar a bit with some older stuff, and the Dogfish 120s, you know, I really find very interesting going back through, you know, some
of
those.
How far back have you gone?
I actually still have a full 10-year vertical of that in place, so I've been hitting some of the spare ones that I've had that are like 8, 9 years, you know, old, and some of the other older Dogfish, you know, versions as well. There was somebody else's barley wine that I had that was probably around that same age.
Like a Bigfoot or something?
No, it wasn't a Bigfoot. But the amount of fruit on this is really quite elegant, very complex. I really love this. What a huge treat to have this today. And well done, Odell's. I know you probably have not gone back to any of the cellar products that you made, you know, even 10 years ago. And I think you're missing a great opportunity. This is a great example of well-cellared beer.
Can you imagine if they released it at this age?
Yep.
Like as a 9-year or 10-year beer?
Yeah.
You know, to come out, I mean, that would be pretty outstanding. What do you think, Reverend Mark?
Yeah, I think it would go for, you know, maybe three decibels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's lovely. And Odell to me is one of the underrated breweries in Colorado, you know, in the scheme of things. And I've always been a big fan, and this is just really yummy. I think we're going to rate this one, the Woodcut number 8, a 5.
Super solid beer.
Wow.
8 is a 5.
I'm going to fight you guys to lick the inside of that bottle at the end of the day.
I know, right?
No, you're not. If you can lick the inside of the bottle, we're not going to fight
you. That's impressive. I mean, that's quite depth.
Well, I look forward to Juliana's 14 choices.
Well, okay, so I only have two choices. And since we're on the subject of Oppenheimer, I'm going to start off with my zombie killer. Now, so, okay, you're going to say to me, Julie, this is from Bee Nectar. Why the heck would you even think about bringing something from Bee Nectar to Oppenheimer? This actually started off as a top secret experiment at Bee Nectar, which is based in Michigan, okay? So it's Michigan honey, cherries, and apple cider. And this has gone on to won many awards through the years. I mean, they started in 2011 with this cider.
What year is this one?
I think this is a 2015.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. We have previously had this on another episode here at Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Wow. I remember good old boy Shay was on that episode. It's the only time where I really thought that Def Leppard's, soundtrack actually went really well, and I was willing to pay the copyright infringement fines.
Wow.
And I think it's called Sticky Situation, I think is the name of that episode. So we covered a lot of meads on that episode, and we covered Kill All the Golfers. I think we covered this one. I think there were three others. That
Zombies Take Manhattan.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So really always a great mead. I love this.
Well, and this, I mean, this is called Zombie Killer. And of course, you know, it's somewhat appropriate. And also the fact that this started off as a top secret experiment at Bee Nectar and then sort of exploded into like a viral thing. I feel that it's something that kind of represents Oppenheimer because it's something that sort of ballooned in many ways. Like the layers of Mr. Oppenheimer ballooned over the years, you know, and... Yeah, and I think that, like, ciders can be very underrated alcoholic styles. You know what I mean? And not all ciders are created equal.
I'm sorry. Yep. I said mead earlier. I meant to say cider.
Or sizer.
Or sizer in this case. Mm-hmm. Well, is it? No, but it's a hard cider.
They call it a hard cider.
Yeah,
it is. But with honey, it could be called a sizer.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. I think it's beautiful.
I think it's got a great tartness, depth of flavor.
Like, it's grown up, you know, it's very mature, and it's almost a very thoughtful kind of cider, if that makes any sense, which is what, like, the movie was great, but it was kind of up there at times where you have to think about, like, it wasn't just a generic movie.
Right.
There was a lot of thought that went into it.
I think anybody could watch the first 2 hours of Oppenheimer, like, you know. But you got to be a grown up to get through the third hour.
Yeah.
You know,
I think for the cider, the thing that is striking me today is it's kind of sneaky good. Like somebody slid something under the door and your palate is not really ready for the onslaught of the wide variety of flavors that you'll get off this. Mm-hmm. I think probably the sneakiest part of this is the sugars. It's almost like somebody has, you know, slid a you know, something sweet kind of under my palate. And I actually like that sneakiness, you know, kind of about this. You know, whatever you think about ciders, you should go back and listen to the onslaught of other cider shows, episodes we've done. And, but the thing that I like about this one, this is a good cider for training wheels. It's not tart. It's not super sweet. It's not going to club you over the head.
But it's not just apple.
It's, yeah.
Right.
Oh, we call it a baby cider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is a great thing. You know, people going, I've never had a cider. You should serve them this, you know, all day long. That's what I love about it. It's very approachable.
And what's the ABV on?
This is
75%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's very, well, actually 5.5.
Yeah.
It's very approachable.
That's
very approachable.
Mike called it.
Yeah.
I am, right?
All right.
Okay, so we shall rate
for this
the zombie killer. Yeah, 5.
Yeah,
yep. We're gonna rate it a 5.
Oh,
okay.
Mike never rates anything a 5.
I did today.
Okay, so let's talk about Barbie for a second.
No,
and what I went with Barbie. Okay,
we only have 30 seconds.
So we're gonna go with I went with the Schramm's the statement, which is a Melomel style. It's 14% ABV with Balaton Sherry. And this is another thing from Michigan. And this is just like, this is sophistication. And say what you will about Barbie, just thinking that she's kind of brainless. But actually, by the end of the movie, she's got some sophistication.
Yeah.
And I think this goes along with that.
Super solid five.
Yeah. Well, we're going to rate the Schramm statement a 5.
Wow.
Really great. Sorry we didn't have longer to talk about it.
No, that's okay. Well, that's going to do it for today. I think this was a really cool experiment episode. Good old boy, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. Come back. Join us for another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Reverend Mark, thank you so much for this idea, and thank you for being here today.
Thank all of you for running with it.
It was the bomb. Good old boy, Dave.
Mojo Dojo Casa House.
Of course.
Sounds like a t-shirt.
This is Good Old Gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
Wow, this is so good. So tasty.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.